Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. The Lord tells us. He says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered them, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Help us, Lord, to glean from it every day, Lord. Not sparingly, Lord, but fully immersed in it. That, Lord, as we get closer and closer to you, we get more and more in your word. May it get close to us. And as you tell us in the Psalms, that we may hide it in our heart, that we may not sin against thee, Lord, that we may be more set apart and love you more fully every day, Father God. Give me the words to preach it this morning, Lord, and give us all hearts, minds, and ears to listen every day to what you're telling us. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We come here to Matthew chapter 4. And it tells us here, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted." We're going to skip over here to the book of Deuteronomy for just a moment. We'll be right back in the Gospel of Matthew. It says he's led in the Spirit to be tempted for 40 days, just as old Moses had to be out there for 40 days. Elijah had to do the same, those 40 days. Remember, 40 days and 40 nights on the ark. But we come here to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And what the Lord tells here, he says, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today." He's given them the promise of victory the chapter before, the children of Israel. And it promises to us today. He says, "Be careful to follow every command I've given you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you, in order to know what was in your heart." 40 years he humbled them and he tested them to see what was in their heart. So often it was selfishness and stiff-neckedness, just today's God's people can sometimes be. But Jesus, his 40 days, that wasn't the case. He was in all ways willing to do the Father's will. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking his way and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into the good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills." He led the children of Israel to be tested all the time in the wilderness. So too the Spirit led Moses into the wilderness 40 years. Elijah, and then we come to Jesus, was led by the Spirit in the desert to be tempted by the devil. It's the instance we get these three temptations the devil gives to the Lord, but we're told elsewhere in the book of Hebrews that he was in every way tempted, every way possible, yet found without sin. It tells us in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 14, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. You can't ever tell the Lord Jesus, well, you don't know what it's like, because he does. He says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He was tempted in every way ever imaginable. We get found without sin. And these right here, Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he said he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. So you can count on it that me, that you, that all God's children is going to be tempted by the devil, by the principalities of darkness. They're going to be knocking on your door, knocking on your heart's door and on your mind, wanting you to fall away from the Lord, wanting you to turn your back on the Lord Jesus. But Jesus, what's it show us here in this passage and what we just read in Hebrews? He endured all the temptation. Children of Israel had to endure testing in the desert, because a faith that's not tested is not very strong. You got to test it, make it strengthen. Just as fire purges out the impurities of silver and gold, so too can the fires of trials purge out the dross inside our lives, inside our hearts. But let's not be like the children of Israel when God said, I'm going to send fire to get the dross out of you, to make you whole and make you refined. But what did it say they do? They came out worse than they were before, because they were stiff-necked and they were stubborn. We got to be cooperating with God's Holy Spirit, cooperating with the Word of God, cooperating with what the Lord's will is for us, and not being stiff-necked and turning back. But Lord, help us. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. It was the Spirit that led him there to be tempted by the devil, to allow the devil to tempt him. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, it says. That's a long time. I bet you he's hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. The tempter, oh, the adversary, the devil, that old dragon, the serpent, as Revelation says, it's cast in the lake of fire. At the end of days, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, what did he say? Just back in Genesis, he said, if the devil's going to come to you and say, did God really say? Yea, hath God said, like he told Adam and Eve. Did he really say that? He's saying to the Lord Jesus, if you're the Son of God. He knew good well he was. But always remember, our adversary is not a truthful adversary. Our adversary, the devil, is the father of lies. If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He says, prove it. But Jesus answered, it is written. It's written. He didn't give just opinions. We're not to just give opinions. When the devil's knocking on our heart, knocking on our mind, we don't just give opinions. What do we give? We give the Word of God. Jesus answered, it is written, a man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, every word. Because what did Jesus, if you'll notice, each time, as I mentioned here before, every time Jesus responded back to Satan with word, it was from not the prophet Isaiah or some of these other bigger books we're more familiar with. No, it's from the book of Deuteronomy. It's seldom studied so often, the book of Deuteronomy. Every time Jesus spoke back to the devil the word, it was from that book. A man does not live on bread alone, as we just read that very verse, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He sent the children of Israel to learn that lesson. We don't live on bread alone. We don't just live on the fleshliness. What did it talk about old Esau? He was such a fleshly person. He just wanted to gratify the flesh so much. He was living by bread alone. He was only living by fleshliness, worldliness, instead of living by the Spirit, living by the Word of God. We have that choice to make every day. Or what are we going to live by? Are we going to live by the bread of the world? Just what the world can give us. What can satisfy the flesh? Remember, I'll get a little hungry for dinner here in a little while, about 12 or 12:30. So we'll go get something to eat. But come about supper time, I'm going to be hungry again. It's the same thing with the gratifying the flesh. You'll always be hungry again for something else. It may be something different, but it will never satisfy you. It will never satisfy the longing of your soul. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's where we'll find our satisfaction. Just as it tells us in Revelation, the living waters flowing, that any may come and drink and thirst no more. It is written, he said. It is written. We must respond back with, it is written. Man does not live on bread alone. We don't live on just bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Praise the Lord for that. That we don't have to live just on this world. We're not alone, but we have the Word of God to show us. It says the children of Israel, when God was telling them that, he took them there. And they had to learn that lesson so often the hard way, that we don't just live to gratify the flesh. It mentioned the heavenly manna that was rained down. What did they say about the manna after a while? They said, we loathe the manna with our hearts. They hated what God was giving him. They said, we want quail like we had back in Egypt land. If we remember, the Old Testament tells us that God gave them the quail, and he said, you'll eat quail until you'll hate the smell of it. It'll make you sick when you smell it. Because they were so ungrateful for what God was giving them, how God was providing them. We as God's children need to be grateful to live, not on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. All these other things down here below, the trivialities of this life, they can be wonderful. It can be a blessing. But they're just that. They're on the side. God is number one. His ways is number one. All these blessings, material blessings, they're just temporary. They're just tools to bring God glory. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's live on every word that he gives us. In verse 5, he tells us, then the devil took him to the holy city. That's Jerusalem. That's the place that God had said, this is where I'm going to establish my temple. This is where Jesus Christ, the only begotten, is going to die on the cross. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. So often they rejected God's way, rejected God's word. But God was always there, wanting them. Come unto me, all ye travail and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Go to him now, just as he called Jerusalem to do. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, that holy city, and had him stand on the highest point, the highest pinnacle of the temple. Once again, he says, if you are the Son of God. And we remember in the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. So the devil here is saying, if you are the Son of God. He knew he was, because who created all things were created by him. Nothing was created without him. That was Jesus, created all things. God the Father created the entire world, all beings, all heavenly angels, through Jesus Christ. The devil himself was looking at his creator, the one that created him, and saying, well, if you are the Son of God, if you're so powerful, he's a deceiver. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Notice here, he says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, that you will not strike your foot against a stone. This is what we just read in the Psalms. In our Psalm reading today, beginning with verse 11, for God will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Praise God for this promise of the Scripture he's given us. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. He says here, because they cleave to me in love, I will deliver them. What a praise God. Back to read that psalm this afternoon. It's a wonderful promise of what God is promising to me and you. It's the word of God. But who else tries to use the word of God? God promises that it will not return to him void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent, God's word. But the devil, he's wanting to twist it. He twists it to the Lord Jesus that wrote it. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. We got to be careful. The Bible tells us to study to shew thyself approved unto God. We got to study and read the word. We don't just need to read it like we're reading a newspaper or something, just leisurely, like it's nothing. We need to, like we're searching for fine gold. If I told you there's $15 million buried in your yard somewhere, we'll probably go out there looking pretty hard for it. But we got some more glorious treasure right here in these pages that we ought to be searching more deeply than we would be searching for just some old gold buried in the yard. It's another rock in the end of days. But this right here is eternal, eternal wisdom, eternal word of God. We need to be searching for treasures in the Scripture, searching it out, hiding it in our hearts that we may not sin against God. How will a person keep their ways pure? By taking heed according to thy word. If we want to be holy, want to be set apart, we got to get in the word of God, let it get in us. We got to get in it and comb through it. Let the fine tooth comb, searching out the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Search them out. God says, you will search for me and you will find me when we search for you. Search for me with all your heart, every bit of us. Isn't it amazing? We got a book, an instruction book on life, a book on how to live, a book that will transform us. We got to get in it. Because the devil himself, what did he do to Jesus? He quoted the Scriptures. We need to be familiar with what God is teaching in his word. We're not careful, just as Satan did here. He pulled it out of context. He pulled it out from the rest of it. Cherry picking verses and twisted them. Try to get Jesus to jump off the temple. But Jesus answered him, It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not tempt the Lord thy God, the Bible tells us. We need to be familiar enough with the Word of God that we'll know which voices to listen to in this world. I've mentioned before, there's all kinds of voices. Worldly voices, lustful voices, satanic voices. There's voices all in this world trying to tell you which way to go. That's why we got to stay heeded, stay close to the Word. The devil himself, he quoted the scriptures to Jesus. He'll try to twist them in our lives. That's why we need to be careful, well-studied, and understanding, seeking the Lord. Who's the best teacher of the Bible? It's the Holy Spirit. Who do we need to go to most of all for wisdom from the Word? When we read this, we're not just reading it by ourselves, but we have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He will come and He will teach you all things. He will teach us and show us the way. Jesus answered to him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Deuteronomy says that as well, and it says the Lord your God. He's our God. He's a personal God. It's not just say the Lord God. He says the Lord your God. Remember that. He's our Heavenly Father. Remember here, he says again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. As he's showing them the kingdoms and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the devil is trying to tell him that I'm going to give you something. He's already the Lord's. Jesus already had it. He's telling him here, the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor, that ain't nothing compared to the kingdom of heaven's splendor. It's just like a dull fade down here below. But when we think of kingdom of heaven, it's a glorious light. And Jesus already had it. He's already the King of Kings. So remember, we can't trust the voice of the devil. He's not even going to tempt you truthfully. He took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms. I will give you, he says, all this I'll give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus already had it. He was already the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was wanting him to turn back. Jesus came down from heaven. He wasn't created. He was eternally begotten of the Father. He always was, always will be, the beginning and the first. First and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He came down from heaven in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness of a mortal body. He came down here 100% God, 100% man, to live a perfect life. Just as it said in Hebrews, he was tempted in every way possible. We just have three temptations here, but he was tempted in every way possible throughout his life, yet found without sin. Never once sinned, lived the perfect life. As we just read in Deuteronomy, he said, be careful to observe all the commandments that I've given you. Did they observe them all as the children of Israel? Certainly not. Have we observed them all? Certainly not. We all fall short and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, every person ever existed on earth except the Lord Jesus has fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus lived a perfect life on our behalf. He reached out his arms on the cross and died a perfect death on our behalf as an innocent one. Then he rose again perfectly so that we can live with him, risen, atoned for, and given victory. He says here, all this I'll give you if you'll bow down and worship me. The devil wanted him, instead of looking forward, the Bible says he despised the cross, he despised the suffering, but he did it anyways. He went ahead. Jesus saw forward and saw what he's going to do. Like it tells us, he set his face toward Jerusalem because it was his time to go forth. It was his time to die on the cross. He reached his hands out and died for us. It was his time, the appointed time, but he did it willingly. Willingly he did it. The devil says here, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. Instead of gaining victory over death, hell, and the grave through the cross and resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit, the devil says, just do it the easy way. You don't have to die on that cross. Just bow down and worship me. I'll give it to you. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? He knew how difficult it would be a walk, but he walked it for me, for you, and he's walking us with us to this very day. Jesus said to him, what did he say? Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. But notice here, he called it by name. He said, away from me, Satan. He called it what it was. When the devil's tempting you, say, get thee behind me, Satan. Away from me, Satan. Get in the Word of God. He's going to be tempting you. He tempted the Lord Jesus. None of us is above him. He's going to be after you. He's after your soul. Stay close to the Good Shepherd, just as that beautiful stained glass I mentioned so often. Stay close like that sheep's right there at his chest. Stay close to the chest of the shepherd. Stay close to him. He'll take care of us. The devil's prowling about. Let's stay close to Jesus. He says here, away from me, Satan. What again? For it is written. Again, he tells us, it is written. Worship the Lord your God. There he is again, your God. He's our personal Savior. We can't ride on our granddaddy's salvation. God don't have no grandkids. He's just got children. personally. You must personally be born again. Except a person is born again, they shall not see God. You will not see Him as Savior and as Father unless you're born again. You will not go into the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. You won't know peace beyond measure. He says, here's written, worship the Lord, your God, and serve Him only. There's another admonition from the Word for us. What are we serving? What are we feeding in our lives? What kind of plants are we watering in our lives? Are we watering the thorn bushes in the garden of our mind, or are we watering the fruitful trees that will bear fruit of the Holy Ghost? We got to choose what we're going to serve. As for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. That'll be our prayer. Every day it was in Joshua. He said, it may seem good for you to serve the gods of Balak, all these other people, the gods of the idolatries of the ancestors. You may see fit to do that, he told him. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord, he says here. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. There's no other room, only Him. There's no other room. We're not polytheist. There's only one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him only. But not just, he says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Well, what's the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, he'll run, he'll flee. He has to. At the name of Jesus, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. We need to be doing that every day, don't we? If the children of Israel, as we just read in Deuteronomy, when they faced the trials of the wilderness, it's amazing what God did for them. It just is so amazing. What did he say there? He said, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. When they faced the trials, which we too will face, He promised us in Revelation, he says, the church must be tried. He told them, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Can you imagine walking everywhere for 40 years on the same pair of shoes and they didn't even wear out? That was a miracle from God. Know then in your heart, he says here, know then in your heart that the man disciplines his sons of the Lord God disciplines you. Be careful to follow every command I've given you. There, it's amazing to read as they went through the wilderness how patient God was with them. They're miracles they saw, but yet how often did they still reject God's way? More often than not, as we read in the Old Testament. The Bible tells us that we are the new Israel, the church of the living God. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, but all one in Jesus as the people of God. We have this very big warnings in the Old Testament. When they faced the trials of this life, are we going to follow just as they did back then? We're going to be wavering back and forth. When they saw so many miracles. Can you imagine going through the Red Sea? I think about that and I see, you know, that old Ten Commandments movie I like to see in the big walls of water. Can you imagine going through that? Glory to God. But yet when they got on the other side, they started worshiping idols because they still had so much Egypt in them. They still had so much of the old pagan way that they wouldn't let go of. They kept dragging it along with them. Just as it says, let's lay aside every sin and wait. Dragging us down in Hebrews, it tells us. They wouldn't let go of it. Is there anything in your life that you're not letting go of? What had happened? It was dragging them down from serving the Lord. It was slowing them down from being in accordance to His will and from glorifying Him and living with purpose for the Lord Jesus and being able to stand against the wiles of the devil. They're dragging all that around with them. God told them, be careful, observe everything. The greatest, the smallest. God cares about every aspect of my life. He cares about every aspect of your life, of everyone's life. There's nothing too little or too great to bring to the Lord. There's nothing too little or too great to drop away that's dragging you away from the Lord, that you will be able to stand against the trials. Children of Israel had so many trials they went through, but they kept failing and failing. They got worse and worse. They kept wanting to go back to the old way. Just as the Bible tells us, in Paul's writings, he talks about the war between the spirit and the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh and spirit, they fight against one another. These things are contrary one to the other. It's like oil and water, it doesn't mix. If you get a glass of oil and a glass of water and mix it, which one will you see? You'll be seeing the oil, because it's darker. If we get sin in our lives and allow it to rule over us and have dominion over us when we're failing, when the temptation comes, which one is enveloping us? It's the sin. It's pulling us away from the Lord. We need to stay close to Him. Over and over, the children of Israel kept rejecting God's way. He didn't even let their soles of their shoes fall out. He never gave up on them. He's not giving up on us to this very day. We have this wonderful example of Jesus. Instead of holding tight to what God said, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. She knew the Word of God. She knew what God had commanded them in her mind. The devil came up there knocking on her door of her heart, speaking to her. And she quoted back what God had told her to not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told her, God told her not to, and she quoted told the devil what God had said. She had it up here, but it was not in her heart. She didn't believe it, truly. She didn't follow forth with it. Maybe she did back before, but she didn't then when that part came. She didn't go forth. No matter how well-intentioned we may be, unless faith working in love is taking place, it's nowhere. Hey, the devil, he doesn't care how good our intentions are if they're determined to be tomorrow to serve the Lord. We need to serve the Lord today because today is all we got. We need to serve the Lord right now. Right now is the only moment we have every day. Serve the Lord with all our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments, which starts with the Lord before we go with everybody else. Jesus fought this temptation. He did not fall short of the glory of God, but he was the eternal glory of him. And I tell you what, that's our Lord and Savior. That's our dearest friend. So what have we to fear down here below when the devil comes knocking? When the devil's baiting that hook and throw it in front of your face, what do? It is written. It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, are you living by bread alone or by anything else? Or are you living on the Word of God? Praise God, there's nothing more powerful than that. It will accomplish its purpose when God sends it out. He's sending it out to our lives. So take a moment and reflect. Is there something between you and the Lord? Are you following Him and His Word? Are you putting your faith true in Him and then following Him? Take a moment and pray to Him. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you, more worthily glorify thy holy name, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, for your word. Help us to heed it every day, Lord, and to stand against the wiles of the devil, Lord. Put on the armor of God every day that we may stand for you and stand on your word. Lord, knowing you're with us wherever we go, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can always follow you, Lord. Help us to do that very thing, Lord. Give us strength. You promise in your word that you will not leave us comfortless, Lord, but you sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And Lord, he's living in our hearts and reigning in our hearts and minds. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to live and walk in the Spirit every day. Give us strength and strengthen each and every one of these people, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we come here to this wonderful memorial, this wonderful memory, the sacrament of Holy Communion. I'm going to read with you some scriptures here today from the book of 1 Corinthians. We come here to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus." He says here, "On the night which he was betrayed, he took the bread," and we got the bread down here, remembering that. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Praise God. In remembrance of him, we remember this. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup." We have our little cups here, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Praise God. He says here, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we're going to proclaim that today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can proclaim this with this wonderful sacrament. Lord, that we can receive grace from it. Grace to help in time of need, that we may be closer to you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for the time of prayer me and you had as we bless this for our communion service today, Lord. Help us to empty ourselves of wickedness and sin in our ways, that we may be filled with your ways, Lord. We thank you for the body and blood, this wonderful reminder of what you did for us on the cross, Lord, and that you are coming again. Take a moment, and if there's something between you and the Lord before we partake in this, go ahead and pray to him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, if you will get the cups.